Hello and welcome to The Persistence. This is She Who Persisted, the Narcy podcast. My name is Beatrice and I'm here with
Elizabeth.
And as promised, today we'll talk about a topic that is in the news lately, or that has been in the news a lot lately, and that's the incel community.
Oh, yes. Jesus. So before we can talk about incels, we kind of have to talk about the manosphere.
Yeah.
Mother Jones has kind of a quick guide that provides some definitions of key aspects of the manosphere, but I think the first thing to understand is that their purpose or mission, if you can call it that, is that, I mean, they have like a core philosophy that basically boils down to this, and this is from Caitlin Dewey's article in the Washington Post. She says that they claim that one, feminism has overrun or corrupted modern culture in violation of nature, biology, and inherent gender differences. And that two, men can best seduce women / save society in general by embracing a super dominant, uber masculine gender role, forcing ladies to fall in step behind them.
I mean, do we want to start unpacking all of that, or is that just...
I mean, there's a lot of shit there, right?
I mean, yes. kind of.
In more ways than one. I mean, first, it's a total, like, reification of hegemonic masculinity. It has a fundamental misunderstanding of what feminism is and does. The idea that, like, there is actual biological... I mean, yes, if you're talking about muscles, like, men often... Because they have more testosterone, they often have more muscle mass, and they're stronger. But that doesn't mean that they are, like, the saviors of society.
Yeah. Apart from the fact that, it's just also a reification of the gender binary.
Yes.
Which, yeah. But as you said, there's so much wrong with it. We should actually pick apart every word in that sentence. But
we could pick apart every single word in that sentence.
For hours.
But you know what? That's just playing into their bullshit. Because to be perfectly honest, like taking what this says at face value and say even giving it any credence is saying that there's something valuable in this statement. Whereas I think maybe what we need to think about is how do we convince them that like that's like wrong. That's wrong. It's just fucking wrong. But anyway, in The Guardian, Ava Wiseman wrote that, quote, advocates of the men's right movement are united by their belief that feminism is the enemy.
the enemy, and also the current kind of ruling ideology, which is the most absurd thing in the world. Just look at the current American president. He's not a feminist.
I mean, he'll tell you he loves women. Yeah, he loves
as
women.
In,
but that doesn't make you a fucking feminist.
He loves women in the same way that he loves his hamburgers, and he doesn't advocate for hamburgers' rights, you know? It's like, I love women. Everyone should have one.
Oh, Jesus. I love my daughter. She's so hot. Look at her.
No. Let's not get into that.
But there are some kind of definitions of terms or, like, organizations that we should know about. So the first is the men's rights movement generally, often abbreviated as MRM. And it's a loosely knit network of groups and activists, MRAs, men's rights activists, who believe that men are an oppressed class. Most adherents consider Warren Farrell to be the intellectual father of men's rights.
Who is that?
That's a great question.
Because I've never heard that name before.
I didn't research him because fuck him.
I mean, legit.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I just thought it's a name that everyone knows.
There's
and
a
I don't.
Father's. Yeah, exactly. There's a Father's Coalition, Father's Manifesto, which is an early men's rights movement website that combined calls for paternal custody rights with claims that Blacks should be exiled, and Catholic priests were sexually abusing children as part of a plot to spread AIDS. There's a lot there. That manifesto, like, went in a lot of fucking directions.
There's a lot going on. There is, like, yeah. Okay. So they weren't satisfied with misogyny alone. They needed to put out, you know, discriminatory.
No, there also had to be racism and homophobia. Yeah. And anti-Catholic.
Yeah.
So then there's the website A Voice for Men, which was founded in 2009 by truck driver Paul Elam, I don't know, to, quote, expose misandry at all levels. The site, which is now a hub of the movement, is aimed at those turned off by the fringe politics of other men's rights forums. Uh-huh. So this is a more centrist view of men's rights, not this like fringe, maybe they would consider the incels fringe. Probably. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Okay. Then there's, so the manosphere is basically like when we talk about the blogosphere or whatever, it's basically like a collection of websites, a collection of online areas where men's rights folks dwell and feed each other's beliefs.
Feed each other's beliefs. It sounds like this herd of, I don't know, vampires, that kind of like a...
Oh, that's a good analogy.
Thank you.
So then there's register-her.com. It's an offshoot of A Voice for Men, and it's considered an offender registry purporting to track female murderers and rapists, as well as women who make false rape accusations.
Oh, wow. Because we all know those false rape accusations are a huge problem in our society. We need to deal with it ASAP.
I can't even. Okay, so then we've got the National Coalition for Men, similar to the National Association of Women or the National Organization for Women, maybe. It's a non-profit group that, quote, raises awareness about the ways sex discrimination affects men and boys. Its leaders have filed lawsuits challenging registration for the draft and seeking to defund shelters for battered women. Because there aren't shelters for battered men. So,
yeah, of course. Yeah. And also, defunding shelters for battered women absolutely helps men so much. It just alleviates their pain and suffering so much.
Agreed.
We should all be just much worse off than we would all be happier, I guess, or something like that. It's like the idea that, you know, everyone should be equally miserable. Apart from the fact that, you know, domestic violence is not... I mean, there are men who are affected by domestic violence, and there's probably more than we talk about, but still, it's not such a huge problem for men as it is for women.
Agreed. Let me just say, this is all, like, heterosexist bullshit to begin with. Because the other thing is, if you talk about, like, defunding shelters for battered women or battered individuals, period. I mean, the individuals who are affected probably the most by abuse and attacks are trans women.
Yeah.
And, you know, defunding shelters for, let's be honest, the manosphere gives not two shits about the trans community.
Yeah.
But, you know, as an intersectional feminist, this angers me.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so then we have Fathers for Justice, and this is a British paternal rights group that gained notoriety in the mid-2000s after activists, some of them dressed as superheroes, scaled public monuments and buildings, allegedly threatening to kidnap the Prime Minister's son and defacing a portrait of the Queen.
Why?
So I totally remember this.
Really?
This dude was dressed up like Batman, and he climbed up on, I want to say maybe like the Parliament building or some other building to like... protest for father's rights, paternal rights.
I mean,
so
does he also protest for men participating in bringing up their children and sharing reproductive work and all of that? I'm sure he doesn't do that.
I don't know. I don't think that that's maybe a big part of their platform as an organization?
Yeah. I would assume it's not.
Oh, yeah. No. So I'm going to do a couple more websites and then a couple of other controversies. So one is 4chan.
Oh, God.
Now,
4chan
is an anonymous and often graphic online forum. It's used by Gamergaters, and we'll talk about Gamergate in a second, but it's also used, like, pretty heavily by the alt-right and by, you know, just the manosphere generally.
Yeah, and it was also in the news a few years ago when people started leaking nude pictures of, I think, Jennifer Lawrence and a few other female celebrities. Which is just a horrible violation. And that, I think, also happened on 4chan.
Oh, yes.
As far as I can remember.
Yes, that is totally a 4chan thing. Yeah. Absolutely. And then there's 8chan, which is an anonymous forum that Gamergator started using after 4chan banned their threads.
What? So I didn't even know that existed.
They just started something fucking new.
So it just keeps getting worse, Nazis. It just keeps getting worse.
So if you're not aware of it, Gamergate is this it's this
take
bullshit
a breath
thing where traditional quote-unquote video game enthusiasts, mostly white males, argue that feminists and others who want game culture to be more inclusive and who are just part of gaming culture
from the
like,
start,
there are women who are actually interested in games, just like there are women who are actually interested in sports, and they don't have to prove that they're interested in sports to you by like rattling off a bunch of fucking statistics, because you know what, I don't give a shit about statistics. But whatever. Anyway, so there was misogyny, violent threats. I want to say, I don't know if it's Anita Sarkeesian or...
I think she was the biggest
name in
it.
She was one of the people who... she had people launching like death threats and rape threats against her. Honestly, rape threats are such fucking bullshit. Like, stop fucking like threatening to rape someone, because that just proves what a jackwad you are. But okay,
and they also I think they even published her address, and they really just did this huge
they doxed her.
Yeah, like, it was intense. It was not just like a bit of online bullying. It was actual like harassment, hardcore harassment. Yeah,
absolutely. If you're not aware of what doxing is, doxing is when you publish someone's personal information online for everyone to get access to, and it's usually includes like an address. Okay, so then there's Reddit, and there's a subreddit, and subreddits are like parts of Reddit, like a subspace within Reddit, which is a social sharing site that you can go to and talk amongst other people that believe in the same things you believe. So they're gamer gators, they're pickup artist followers, and we'll talk about that more later. There are some incels, but incels have like their own community as well. And the alt-right, you have a lot of alt-right stuff there as well. Then there's a couple of fun things and abbreviations and terms that the manosphere uses. The first is the Honey Badger Brigade, a group of mostly female supporters of the men's rights movement. Its weekly online radio show features such topics as, quote, the top 13 creepiest feminist behaviors, including humorless vagina art.
Humorless vagina art.
So you can tell... You can tell Michael that vagina art is one of the creepiest feminist behaviors, according to these honey badgers.
And the humorless.
Yeah, right? Only if it's humorless. Yeah. The honey badger thing refers to this video of a honey badger that was like, it was narrated over it. And it was like, honey badger don't give a shit. Like, he's attacking a cobra. Like, he's going to eat that cobra. And like, the cobra attacks him, but he doesn't actually die, like, from the venom. And honey badgers, like, are fucking badass. But they don't give a shit. Okay. Then there is the derogatory term mangina, which is what some men's rights activists call a man who supports feminism.
Mangina.
The alt-right calls them cucks, which is short for cuckold, which is basically like like men who are denied sex and cheated on by women, but it's mm-hmm. really just a way to talk about what they also call beta males.
Yeah, I'm going to get into the cuck thing later because the incel community also uses it, but slightly different.
Yeah. Then there's SJWs, which is social justice warriors.
Obviously.
Men's rights activists and gamer gators call someone who advocates for equal rights for women and minorities social justice warriors, not just fucking human beings who care about other human beings.
Yeah.
And then there's a faction of the manosphere that's called Men Going Their Own Way. And they vow to avoid contact and relationships with women.
Oh, wow.
Because they think that women will inevitably treat them as disposable utilities. And that's in quotes. Disposable utilities.
All right.
And this just plays into their like fantasy that that feminism has created this kind of Amazon culture that men are just being used for sex, though clearly not all of them. Mm-hmm. And they are just disposable utilities.
Yeah, and they're also subjugated and ruled by women who are clearly in power all over the world.
Exactly.
It's science.
Yeah. And that's why Hillary Clinton won the election. Wait a minute, she didn't? What?
Well, there's probably a feminist conspiracy behind Trump winning the election.
Probably. So the incels are kind of part of this manosphere community.
Yeah. So, okay, we probably should have started this episode with the disclaimer that this is one of these episodes where you need a lot of, you need to be in the right mindset, you know? You need a lot of chocolate.
Chocolate, wine, lots of booze, something.
Ideally, you should have drunk the booze before starting this episode. Because
or maybe not. Maybe it's just make you more depressed.
I don't know. I'm just going to say this is at your own risk. You know, whatever I'm going to tell you now is we told you it's going to be bad. And I'm saying that because I spent a few hours yesterday on an incel forum and...
I can't believe you did that. I couldn't do it. I fucking couldn't do it.
It was intense, but we'll get into that. So the term incel, or I-N-C-E-L, is another example for what happens so often in history, which is a woman comes up with an idea. That idea is then co-opted by men and used for very different purposes than what it was originally intended for. Because, yes, you heard right, the term incel was invented by a woman, and it was a queer Canadian college student. So in the 90s, she started a webpage after she realized in conversations with other students that she was not the only one in the middle of her 20s and still single and still a virgin who longs for romantic intimacy, sexual intimacy, who just has a problem with dating and feels kind of lonely. So she created a sort of online self-help group called Alana's Involuntary Celibacy Project. And back then it was used by people of all genders to discuss loneliness, sexlessness, problems with dating. And the abbreviation that was originally used was INVCEL, so INVCEL, which is hard to say, which is also the reason why it then turned to INCEL. And so Alana herself, the podcast Reply All by Gimlet Media, did an episode about incels, and she gave an interview for that. So I would also suggest listening to that because it's really interesting. And
it's a really great interview.
Yeah. And she also says in that interview that she realized that one of the reasons why she was so lonely and felt so isolated was that she was a lesbian in the closet, and a lot of things got better for her after she came out. And when she realized she's feeling better again and she doesn't really need the site anymore, she kind of gave it to a stranger. And then, of course, it developed into something that...
To be fair, though, that stranger didn't immediately turn it into this, like, hate site.
No, I'm not saying that. It's definitely not the responsibility of one single person who then, So it just, the whole thing, the whole term, not just the site, but the whole term kind of developed into something else. Because, after her leaving the site and after some time, it turned, it, it, you know, the incel community, the main space wasn't really the site anymore, but actually the term incel got very big on Reddit and 4chan, two sites that Liz already told you about. And basically it turned into an extremely misogynistic boys club in which men started to blame women for the lack of sex and romance, which wasn't initially part of the whole incel thing. So initially it was really just a space for people to talk about their problems, which is a good thing. It's a good thing.
Yes, like a community of people who are trying to help one another.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that the incels now would say that they're trying to help one another, but they're not trying to help one another.
No, I'm going to get into that. It's the opposite of help. Really. So what the term incel is now known for is exactly that misogynistic internet subculture of men that feel like they are entitled to sex with women, they're entitled to women's bodies, maybe also entitled to success in life more generally, because I feel like a lot of those men, the impression that I got reading the posts is that most of them are not very successful in life, you know, not just in the love life, but generally. And I feel like this rage that they direct towards women is sometimes also kind of a general rage that they have because they feel like they're entitled to having a good life and they don't. And so women are blamed for that. So this is how I felt about it when I read all of those things. And as I said, I will later read a few things from a forum that I spent a few hours on yesterday. Oh. It's going to be bad. But what you find is a lot of men, so this is what I read, a lot of men who advocate for violence against women because those women are not available to them. What also happens a lot is that there are individual like channels on that forum. And then what happens a lot is that one guy posts a picture of a woman that he wanted to date. So they just take profile pictures from Facebook or Tinder or whatever. And then they say something like, that fucking whore didn't even want to have sex with me, I don't know. And it's usually like a woman that doesn't fulfill traditional ideas of conventional beauty, you know? For example, a woman that's fat or something like that. And then the other guys start calling her names. And then it kind of, at some point, it always turns into, we should all get together and shoot her, that fucking whore, whatever. You know, it's just really, it's really intense. So that's what I saw a lot.
Then, I have a question. Are you going to get into the Betty Stacy Chad thing?
Yes, I will. Okay. I will. Yeah.
Continue.
What they also do is, they call women names. Femoid is the most harmless one. I'm going to also get into that. But yeah, it sometimes even gets to the point where they suggest that all women should be gassed or shot, etc. So I stopped reading yesterday when someone underneath a picture of a woman that didn't want to have sex with him, someone posted a picture of Hitler and a button that said gas on it. And I was like, all right, that's enough for me. I'm just going to shut down my computer and drink a cup of tea because I can't. Yeah.
Do they understand that eliminating all women will then make them like they won't have anyone to have sex with anymore if they destroy all women?
Listen, you're applying logic to this.
Oh, gotcha.
That's the first mistake.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so those communities are characterized by a lot of resentment, by a lot of misogyny, but also racism and homophobia. So I also saw that a lot. And then also misanthropy in general. And the term community, I think, is not really applicable in the sense that those people who have, you know, those people who all have the same problem and they come together and support and empower each other, which would be a good thing. But it's actually the complete opposite. So they tell each other that they're worthless pieces of shit and that they should better just commit suicide or shoot other people, shoot whores, quote unquote. And that's what they call the black pill. So the black pill is basically cynicism, the abandoning of all hope, fatalism, defeatism for quote unquote unattractive people or actually unattractive men. And, you know, also then resorting to violence because you don't have any chance in life anyway.
So even within their community, they've got like dudes who are telling other dudes, you're just not attractive enough, you should just kill yourself?
Yeah, that's what they do a lot.
Oh, come on. If they would, you know what? If they would listen to feminists, the feminists would tell them, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You should not kill yourself. Like, you should you should love yourself for who you are.
I know, but they don't listen to feminists.
I know.
So it's really like, and it's really a horrible echo chamber of people who kind of are fueling their own rage and disappointment and entitlement. And it's like this dark spiral of just horrible things. And the black pill is kind of the term for the combination of those beliefs, you know, that everything is basically, that you don't have a chance in life, that women are horrible people who will never have sex with you, that you'll never have a great job, that you don't have any hope in life, you know, that you're just too ugly for anything. And then you go on the forum and then there are dudes who basically tell you exactly that. And then you get even more angry. Yeah, so the term black pill is a reference to the film The Matrix, obviously, in which Neo, the protagonist, has the choice of either taking a blue pill with which he would remain in the world of illusion that he is currently living in, or he can take the red pill with which he would see the world as it really is, which is not very pretty, but it's still, but at least it's kind of the truth, you know? He would see the reality. And the men's rights movement started using the term taking the red pill for the process in which men are starting to finally see that we live in a world in which women hold power over men and feminism is the ruling ideology. So we are all blue-pilled, you know? We are kind of all living in this illusion that feminism...
So feminism, which points out that there are structural inequalities, that, you know, that there are problems with the world...
Mm-hmm.
That's like fake, and somehow the real world is men saying that there are inequalities and that they're not getting enough rights.
Exactly. And you need to take the red pill to finally see that men are a subjugated class of human beings and that women need to be stopped because they are the ruling class. And
yeah, sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and then the black pill is described as, quote, I will now espouse violence, hatred, and misogyny, unquote. So this is kind of the most extreme version of red pilling, where you then start to actually act according to that ideology.
Yeah.
Yeah, most discussions on that forums obviously revolve around they believe that men are road sex, that women are lesser humans, and they call them femoid. To stress that they're human-like, but not quite human, like android, you know?
Sure.
Yeah. And then, I know, also the term woman is almost never used. They sometimes say females are femoids. So, the people, or sluts and whores, obviously, or bitches.
Of course, sluts and whores.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
We're all sluts and whores, whatever.
We are. And the people on the forum that I looked at seem to be very radicalized, actually, and endorse even call to violence against women. Women in general, but then also sexually active women in particular, who they call Stacies, which is, well, there are Beckys and Stacies. Beckys are, I guess, women like us who are not blonde and like...
Let me explain the difference between Stacies and Beckys.
Please do.
So it's actually totally not surprising that in a subculture where women are devalued, that they would be categorized into humanized.
Yeah.
Stacies are hyper feminine, attractive, and unattainable, and they only date Chads, muscular, popular men who are presumed to sleep with a lot of women.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are Beckys, an average woman. Beckys are wear like loose baggy clothing to, quote, hide small tits and a flat ass, or they need to wear, quote, super tight yoga pants to get a few looks. A Becky carries a $5 backpack and has a, quote, nerdy bun because she, quote, thinks guys like the natural look. Meanwhile, Stacy has a, quote, naturally curvy body with big tits and ass that, quote, give men instant erections. She has sexy, majestic, long blonde hair. Her makeup is on point, and she carries a $2,000 Gucci bag and lives in luxury.
Okay.
There's another iteration of a Becky who is a feminist who will likely dye her hair green, pink, or blue after attending college.
That's us.
That's totally me. She posts provocative pictures because she, quote, needs attention despite being a 6 out of 10. So, you know how the current president was like rating women and saying like, she's a 6, she's whatever. Yeah, that's what incels do. Mm. They rate women and say, oh, she's only a 6.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I just wanted to say, obviously, both Stacey's and Becky's are equally hated.
Oh, yeah. And they're also thin white women.
Oh, yeah. All of them.
Yes. So while like incels seem to believe that the untouchable and seemingly non-existent Stacey will never sleep with them, they feel like they're owed attention and sex from a Becky because she's like a troll who she should be lucky to be getting attention from them. See our friend zone episode where dudes think that they're owed fucking sex for paying attention to an unattractive quote unquote woman.
Yeah. And then there's also another term, which is the term cucks.
Ah, yes.
And that is, it originally comes from to be cuckolded, or to cuckold someone, which is like men who are cheated on by women.
Yes.
Is that an English sentence?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. That's
okay, good. and cucks are not, they don't use it as a term for men who are cheated on by women, but they use it as a term for men who are in happy relationships, quote unquote happy relationships, because they can never be really happy, right? For insults, but who are in relationships with women, right? And the term cuck kind of means that they are, that the reason they are in a relationship with a woman means that they have been made subservient by a woman. So a woman kind of, and then it's actually, he's actually kind of a victim by, a stupid victim of a woman who kind of domesticated him, or, you know, this kind of is part of the idea, I feel
like. Yeah, I mean, if he's a beta, then he's bought into the feminist lie, which means that he's a cuck because, like, you know, he's accepted his, like, female overlords.
Yeah, and of course, alpha and beta are terms that describe men, so.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. Not women. Women are just, like, horse. It's fine.
Or 5 of 10, 10 of 10, or 1 of 10, or something like that. Okay. And then they also often argue that the reason why women don't have sex with them is that they are superficial and only like extremely handsome men. So they only like to, yeah.
Do they at all accept the fact that they are superficial and that they only like extremely attractive women, aka Stacey's, and resent? And actually resent all women, but only find, like, extremely attractive women, like, attractive to them? Do they point out this, like, double standard?
Liz, logic.
Sorry.
Okay. So, there was this whole argument on the forum that I can read out later where they try to find the reason behind women not admitting that they only want to have sex with extremely hot men. And they came up with all kinds of nice nice ideas. I can read that to you, actually. So one guy wrote, might be an obvious point many of you have thought about before, but I felt like getting my thoughts down. It has always been bizarre to me how women absolutely refuse to admit what they're attracted to in terms of looks, personality, status, etc., as well as general truths about how they work. Getting a woman to openly admit that she's attracted to money, aggressive men, and high-status men seems impossible in most cases. What's even stranger is that even in anonymous online forums, they keep a lid on the truth like their life depends on it. And maybe that's because it does. When I first started thinking about the reason behind it, I chalked it up to women's inherent conformism. Women in our ancestral past who expressed unpopular opinions risk being ostracized from the tribes, and they obviously couldn't survive alone. But I think there might be an even more violent aspect to this. Women who were open about their preferences in historic times ran the risk of getting clubbed to death by a ticked-off cave cell, so a cave incel.
Oh, Jesus.
And then he goes on to say, so women have evolved to keep the truth about their nature under wraps at all costs because they are always physically at the mercy of men. They don't tell the truth because deep down they're afraid of you.
Well, no shit, we're afraid of men, especially when they post shit like that.
Yeah, well, then there was, I'm going to read the responses. One response was, well, they are the weaker sex, so it's understandable they would be dishonest at times. It's just logical from an evolutionary survival standpoint. Like, what the fuck?
Fake science.
Then another response. No, they aren't honest about the nature because they're sociopaths.
Well, I mean, no.
Okay. Then another response.
I know.
Another response was, and I love this because they keep doing this. Some insult posts some shit that is kind of fake scientific, you know, like doesn't make any sense, but they think it's extremely intelligent. And then the response a lot of times is high IQ post.
Oh, for fuck's
sake. They just write under the post, high IQ post. And I'm like, what the fuck? No, it's not. Oh, okay. Then another response was, women are not quiet about their desires because they are afraid. They are careful because it makes them morally superior.
That's not why we're careful. We're careful because we don't want someone to murder us.
If women openly admitted that they are in for which rich dude would say, well, whatever. It doesn't have to make sense. Hey, she just wants my money and status. I'll marry her. If they are quiet and say, I love you for your character, they can exploit you more efficiently.
Oh, you know what? My life is all about exploiting people more efficiently. Oh, wait, it's not, because that's not what feminism's fucking about.
No. Another response was, it's all about the illusion of being more than men. Why does pussy have a price? Because the illusion has been around for all time. Well, thank God for the internet. Men are waking up.
Oh my God. Oh my God. This makes me want to like destroy the internet. Oh my God.
And then one thing that's also great, because it also ties in very well with our friend zone episode. They aren't honest because they literally don't know what they want. Since women really aren't as objectively analytical as men.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Since their nature is socially and subjectively focused, they don't or can't really form a coherent set of wants towards their partner. They will usually be implanted some shallow set of qualities the man must have by society. That's why you see sleuths saying they want a gentle, smart man and train their male children to be nice, kind, and beta-esque to women. They are influenced by society to do this. They don't really think or believe it.
Oh, so we don't really believe in feminism. We're just doing it because society tells us to do.
Yeah. Oh, and then he goes God. On. It's not finished. He goes on saying, at the same time, they'd be ready to drop their entire family if a 9 out of 10 Chad as much as acknowledges them. They are just dishonest to themselves about their ideals, and the animal can easily take over since it's not suppressed by genuine beliefs like in men.
Oh, this wait, is also what? Yeah. Okay, sorry, continue.
This is also why they get defensive when outed. They don't realize what they're doing. Honestly, they are children and should be treated as children.
Oh, fuck. I am not a child. I am so far from a fucking child. I can't even. Yeah. So this was all on just one post?
This was one post, yeah. And the responses to it, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no.
That was one post and the responses to it. So what also happens, which is the most absurd thing ever, is that they also say that women only date Chads, right? So aggressive men who are extremely handsome, who have high status. But then they also argue that those men are assholes to women, which is kind of the nice guy argument again.
But they're assholes to women, so...
I know, but they think that they would be better boyfriends.
Oh, no, they would not.
So basically, the whole insult thing is the darker, more extreme, even more misogynistic face of the friend zone nice guy. That's really what it is. And what's also the case is that, which is also completely absurd, is that a lot of times incels also believe in quote-unquote forced sexual redistribution. So basically they want governments to require to force women to engage in certain sexual or romantic relationships. For example, they argue that there should be programs that give them girlfriends. Like you could give a person to someone because it's just a thing and not a person.
They're like preoccupied with this idea of like sexual economy.
Yeah.
Like that, like 20% of men are having sex with 80% of all sex, mm-hmm. which means like for every 10 girls who are getting laid, 8 of them are just fucking 2 guys. Like it's not a fucking numbers game.
No, it's not.
Like,
And that's one of the reasons why they also sometimes advocate violence against men, even though they're not, like, they don't have anything against men per se, but sure. But they want to kill, they say that it violence against men is justified if it's a Chad, you know, if it's one of the men who take away their potential sex partners.
Yeah, like, sure.
Yeah, and then there are also a lot of different terms that I didn't really, that I read a lot of times, but I didn't really find any explanation for them. And I didn't want to dig deep enough into the forum to find the explanation there. And I didn't find them anywhere else. So they also call each other macells, which I don't know what it means. I think macells are kind of fake incels, but I don't really know what it means. But there's also this term trousel. A trousel is someone who doesn't, who's not only a virgin and doesn't have sex and doesn't have romantic relationships, but a trousel is someone who also doesn't have friends. So they're like the purest version of the incel is a guy who just sits in the basement all day long, doesn't have friends or a job or a girlfriend. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then incel very often, also it's something I saw a lot on the forum, also glorify Elliot Roger and Alec Minassian, who were the two incel terrorists who killed people as part of what they called the incel, quote unquote, incel revolution. I will talk about that later. And in the forum that I looked at, several men had a screenshot from Elliot Rogers' manifesto video as their avatar picture. Mm-hmm. And they also seem to glorify school shooters. They kind of identify with them.
Well, no yeah. shit. I mean, the thing is, every time we hear about a school shooter who's had his advances rebuffed and who goes to school and shoots 10 people or 20 people or 40 people, it's an act of terrorism based on this ideology of misogyny, right? I mean, mm-hmm. And we as a society totally buy into that by reporting, oh, well, this girl, like, wouldn't date him, so then he shot up the school. Wait a minute. No, this dude was a misogynist. He wouldn't leave the girl alone, and he decided to kill her.
Yeah, and other people in the process. People.
And honestly, yeah. the Golden State Killer is the same. It's the same freaking thing. Like,
yeah.
He after they caught him, they said, "Oh well, people hypothesized and thought that maybe you know his girlfriend or fiance at the time had broken up with him, and that's what like set him off to become this serial rapist and serial killer, who commits his crimes because of misogyny, not because this woman broke up with him, but because he thinks that he is owed sex or relationship by society, and that as a society we buy into that when we see these headlines. It's awful.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And I'm not gonna get there's so many things that I want to say about the Golden State Killer thing, because it the whole thing uncovered so much misogyny, but I think we should get into that on another episode. So, according to the New York Times, the involuntary celibacy is an adaptation of the idea of quote-unquote male supremacy, an ideology that the Southern Poverty Law Center began including in the list of hate groups in this year, 2018. And the New York Times also wrote that, quote, the group has evolved into a male supremacist movement made up of people, some celibate, some not, who believe that women should be treated as sexual objects with few rights, unquote. And, you know, when you look at those groups, those self-identified incels are primarily white. They're almost exclusively heterosexual and male, although there are some mixed gender forums, such as Reddit's Forever Alone. But those that are usually, you know, those main incel like forums are really like, I mean, they're almost exclusively male, especially those that are this misogynistic. Then incels are often described as young. They're situated mostly in America, and the numbers are estimated in the hundreds of thousands. And there was a 2001 Georgia State University study that found that people who identified as incels tended to feel frustrated, depressed, and angry regardless of why they felt they were involuntarily celibate. And they also found that there is a correlation with depression, neuroticism, anxiety, and autism, which makes a lot of sense.
You know what would be more helpful than joining an online community for a lot of these people? Better mental health care in the United States.
Yeah. Better mental health care, or maybe an actual community, you know.
Yeah,
I mean, the internet can be a great place for people who seek help. I mean, there are self-help groups on the internet too. And if those incel groups were self-help groups, then it could be a great thing, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's the opposite of it. Yeah.
What's crazy about this is that like this kind of conversation about men and masculinity and this like hegemonic mm-hmm. masculinity, this is so not new. Like, we've mm-hmm. been talking about this crisis of masculinity and trying to figure out how to solve this crisis of masculinity for hundreds of years.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And it's also, I mean, apparently masculinity is always in crisis.
Well, see, you know? And that's the thing. If masculinity is always in crisis, then is it ever actually in crisis? Like, is it a fake crisis that someone has created mm-hmm. in order to, like, help us to get us on board to,
yeah,
like, maintaining the status quo of hegemonic masculinity?
Yeah.
And if that's because the case, maybe, like, we have to call into question, like, why we have this supposed crisis.
Yeah. Because maybe it's not masculinity that is in crisis, but masculinity is the crisis. Maybe
yeah.
masculinity is the problem.
Yes. Yeah, the hyper-masculinity, the forced hegemonic masculinity that we have in our society, all of that, like, that's the bigger issue.
Mm-hmm. And also, you know, one question that comes up a lot, I think, when people talk about incels is that apparently those are also people who are in a lot of pain, you know?
Yeah.
They're not happy people. And then the question is, do we, as women who are oftentimes victims of male violence, really do we really have to be empathic with the perpetrators?
Okay, that's a great question. I actually read an article by Marnie Supkoff, and I'm sure I'm not pronouncing your mm-hmm. last name right, because I never pronounce people's last names right, but it was from the National Post.
But it's okay, because you're an American.
Right? I'm an asshole Sorry. American who can only pronounce German names correctly, so it's fine.
It's fine.
Anyway, she wrote an article in the National Post, and she argues that we need to think about incels as extremists, but not in terms of, like, contending that all incels deserve to die, or trying to extrapolate this into a larger movement in society, that these attacks will tell us something about gender or misogyny, but instead mm-hmm. that they tell us something about a particular movement at a particular moment in time. And she said, quote, mm-hmm. it's not that incels aren't misogynist or disturbed. What these types of attacks tell us, and this is the attacks like in, mm-hmm. recently in Canada and in California and other attacks, what they tell us is that the level of anger and social disconnection evident is so significant that it calls for figuring out how to reach and reintegrate these people into normal society and to help them find better ways to address their pain. And she compares mm-hmm. them to religious extremists. Stating that we have programs to de-radicalize religious extremists. And in the case of incels, shouting about what horrible women-hating losers they are is not going to prevent one of them from murdering again. Mm-hmm. And banning them from Reddit subgroups isn't going to help their persecution complex. It won't make them go away. It just sends them further into the shadows. Mm-hmm. She doesn't have, like, a plan of action per se, but argues that yeah. we need to come up with a way to deal with the problem of incels that isn't shaming, but instead seeks to understand and empathize and figure out why this is happening and how we can change their perspective mm-hmm. to teach them about human connection, because that's something that they're clearly lacking. But the question yeah. is that our job as women? And I don't think it's our job as women.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I didn't have an answer.
Like, we do a lot of emotional labor already.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I think what needs to happen is that men need to figure out a way mm-hmm. to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is their fucking problem.
Yeah, it's not only that we do a lot of emotional labor already, it's also that we are victimized by exactly yeah. those men. Yeah. So absolutely. Yeah, it's tough. So the forum that I looked at was incels.me, M-E. And
of course it's .me.
Yeah. What else?
They're selfish, whatever. Okay.
Talking about narcissism.
Yeah.
So there was one guy who wrote, from now on, when a woman says, someone will love you for who you are, call them out. Reply, oh, so you want to date me then? Of course they don't want you. Nobody does. And that's what these bitches miss. Be nasty to any bitch who reassures you that you will find someone. If she's not willing to step up to the plate, then she should be shot down.
Like, step up to the plate to help you find someone, or step up to the plate to fuck you?
To get fucked
oh,
by you.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Yeah, to get fucked by you. Yeah, yeah, no. She has no yeah. agency. I'm sorry. I forgot about that.
No. And also, if she doesn't do that, then she should be shot down. And then she should also say, if you aren't attracted to me for who I am, then shut your goddamn mouth about how there is someone out there for me. Spit in her goddamn face. Love me for who I am, whore. And if anyone says girls can be incels too, demand they produce one so you can mutually inceldom.
Here's the thing. These bitches don't understand, and I'm referring to the incel bitches as bitches, that this was started by a woman.
Mm.
Like, yeah. Their whole freaking community wouldn't even exist if it weren't for a queer woman who, like, came up with this idea.
Yep. So, produce one so you can mutually end inceldom. They can't. It's just more talking out of their asses so they don't have to admit the black pill. Because if they admit the black pill, it pulls down the whole delusion of the world being built on meritocracy. Fucking pieces of shit. They need to think before you say this shit. What? We've listened to your bullshit our whole lives and you've wasted our time, energy pursuing false hope. And then... one person wrote, females should be banned from working with men, to which another person replied, fix that for you, cunts should only be used to breed and raise children.
What now?
Yeah.
Oh, honey.
And then I think the worst thing that I found was, I told you about this already, there was this picture of a woman who didn't... a fat woman, and I use the term fat as in feminist, in a feminist sense, not as in a derogatory sense. Mm-hmm. And he wrote, she would rather go on Tinder and choose a good-looking man than an incel, despite being our looks matched. Just fucking lol at modern society. Then another guy replied, her dead body isn't rapeable. The nerve of this whore. She needs a bullet. Another guy... replied with, I agree, nice post, let's shoot her.
No.
To which a guy replied the picture that I already told you about of Hitler and a button that says gas.
You know what? Anytime you bring Hitler into an argument, you've lost. I'm sorry. Well, that is like a weak ass argument. Like, I mean, Hitler was bad, the Nazis were bad. Let's not, like, it was fucking terrible. But, like, if the only way that you can win your argument is by bringing in Hitler, it is a shitty fucking argument.
Oh, I think the argument here is that someone like Hitler should gas women. I think it's not an argument against Hitler. I think it's like...
Oh, no. It's not an argument against Hitler. It's an argument that, like, Hitler was right. Like, no. No.
Yeah. I mean... Yeah, what I mean, I can't.
No.
Yeah, so what I also find a lot of times is that they are extremely homophobic against lesbians, well, lesbophobic actually, because, which is also ironic because the term incel was invented by a queer woman, but you know, whatever. Because they argue that women, like the argument goes like this: women would rather have sex with ugly dykes than with us. So it's not just men who take away women, but it's also lesbians who are generally called ugly dykes, which is, so the idea is kind of, since women are lesser than men, right, a woman can never choose a woman over a man. It's just, but they would even choose, and they, women are so depraved and so, like, I don't know, like, so such whores that they would actually rather choose another woman over an insult.
Well, and it goes to the, like, their notion that, like, female supremacy is what's taking over the world. Like, you know, once we find a way to have kids without sperm, like, fuck men, they're obsolete anyway.
Which is true. I mean, it's true.
I mean, you know, the assumption is, though, that men and women are only there for screwing, and they're not there to have emotional relationships.
No.
They're
yeah.
not there for, like, anything more than their physical attraction. And that's just bullshit.
And also the idea that human beings are not human beings first and then men or women, but that it's just like this... The question whether you're a man or a woman always comes first before you're a human being. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the question now, of course, is inceldom terrorism? Because incels have committed at least 5 mass murders in North America. Most people only know about 2.
Oh, sorry. Are they white?
Yeah.
Okay. Then
it's not terrorism.
They're not terrorists. So maybe we can reframe that conversation. And we
maybe we should.
If it's terrorism when you kill someone because of a belief system, and misogyny is a belief system,
yeah,
then if you kill someone because of misogyny, it's terrorism.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of just saying that, like, oh, I don't know why these, like, white men keep killing all of these, like, high school students and women and other people, random people. Like, maybe we can talk about the fact that it's not just mental illness. It's also misogyny. Mm-hmm. And they're
toxic
terrorists.
Masculinity.
And toxic masculinity. And but like, if we're going to say in the United States in particular that, like, we only define terrorism based on, you know, people who kill people because of an ideology, then misogyny can count as an ideology.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, this ties in with what I said earlier about, you know, do we have to have empathy with those people? Because if, I don't know, an Islamist, you know, what is the English word for it? Like an Islamic terrorist.
That's what we say, Islamic terrorist.
If an Islamic terrorist commits an act of terrorism, kills people, then we automatically go to, he's a terrorist, he's a horrible person. And if those white boy babies do something, then we have to feel sorry for them. Do you know what I mean? Like,
it would mean admitting that misogyny shouldn't be what organizes our society.
Yeah.
Like, because it means saying, like, okay, the status quo right now is misogyny. These dudes are killing people because of misogyny, so it's not terrorism. So it means taking a step back from our society and saying, like, oh, shit, our society is based on misogyny. Like, let's change that. And as soon as we do that, then we can understand how misogyny is a belief system that's counter to what our society believes in.
Yeah. Yeah, but I also think it has to do with race. I also think that it has to do with race, because as soon as somebody who's not white does something like that, we don't even think about what problems he might have, you know.
No.
We don't sit down and think about you know, the loneliness that Islamic terrorists feel and how they, you know, are radicalized because they are so sad and lonely. Mm-hmm. We do that with white terrorists all the time. So it's always this poor boy baby, you know, thing that comes up when we deal with white men doing these things.
Well, and in the United States, we don't shoot them first and ask questions later.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah.
You know, we don't try and talk them down. You know, we try and talk them down instead of immediately shooting them because they're white, you know.
Yeah. So, I said that incels have committed at least 5 mass murders in North America. So on May the 23rd, 2014, there was the very famous Isla Vista shooting in California. So the 22-year-old Elliot Roger killed 6 people and injured 14 others near the campus of University of California, Santa Barbara, before killing himself. And he left a lengthy manifesto on YouTube where he detailed his hatred for women and his involuntary celibacy. And he also calls himself the Supreme Gentleman, and how women choose to have sex with other men that are not as great as him, but they ignore him. And this is why he kind of, it's kind of an act of retribution, you know? So he feels like he is deprived of love and sex, and now he has the right to kill because he's the victim in this, in his mind. Do we want to play a bit of the the manifesto? Okay.
Nope.
Yeah. I just wanted to
ask. I don't want to, I have no interest in giving him any additional like airspace.
Yeah. No, I just wanted to know, this is what I thought. I just wanted to know what you think about it. Because I listened to it and it's okay. So then on October the 1st, 2015, in Roseburg, Oregon, also in the United States, 26-year-old Chris Harper Mercer shot and killed 9 people and injured 8 others at the Umpqua Community College campus. Yeah, before killing himself. He also left a manifesto at the scene outlining his interest in other mass murders, including the Isla Vista killings, anger at not having a girlfriend, and animus towards the world in general. And before the attack, when someone on an online message board had speculated he was saving himself for someone special, Harper Mercer replied, "Involuntarily so." Several hours before the shooting, someone suspected to be Harper Mercer posted a threat to a Pacific Northwest college to an incel 4chan board. So then on the December 7th, 2017, in Aztec, New Mexico, also in the United States, 21-year-old William Atchison shot two people at his former school, at Aztec High School, before shooting himself. He also had used the term Elliot Roger, on the pseudonym Elliot Roger, on several online forums and praised the quote-unquote supreme gentleman, a term that Roger had used to describe himself. And the term also has been picked up by incel communities. And as I said, in the forums, a lot of people actually use his picture as an avatar, which is really disturbing. And then this April in Toronto, Ontario, in Canada, a van driver suspected to be the 25-year-old Alec Minassian killed 10 people and injured 14 others. Minassian was arrested soon after the attack. Shortly before the attack, Minassian had posted on Facebook that the quote-unquote incel rebellion has already begun and applauded Elliot Roger, the self-identified incel attacker, in the 2014 Isla Vista killings. So I think it's fair to say this is terrorism.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
So there is an aspect of the manosphere and the incel community that I would say is also very old, and is also as like equally disturbing as the violence, because it pretends like it's not violence.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be pickup artists.
Yeah. And I think we also have to say that the incels really differentiate themselves very much from pickup artists. Yes. There's also this hashtag pickup artist hate.
Yes.
So they,
and there,
yeah.
There used to be a website called pickup artist hate, P-U-A hate, that it no longer exists.
Yeah. And they say that the kind of the difference between pickup artists and them is that they were blackpilled and now see the truth that everything is hopeless.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So, again, let me be clear. Pickup artists have been around forever. Mm. Look at the libertines of 18th century France. Have you read Dangerous Liaisons or seen the movie? Like, it's basically 18th century pickup artists. Mm-hmm. But before the internet, dudes would advertise in the back of pulp magazines for seminars or publications promising that they would be able to help anyone pick up a girl. Mm-hmm. The Wikipedia entry for what they lovingly refer to as the seduction community.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God.
Argues Jesus that the Christ. Modern I know. Seduction yeah. movement dates to the 1970s with the publication of quote, of How to Pick Up Girls by Eric Weber, who is credited as the first modern pickup artist. But one self-described picker-upper of women preceding Weber was psychotherapist Albert Ellis, who wrote The Art of Erotic Seduction, a how-to guide for men that encouraged them to meet women through the pickup with Roger Conway in 1967. Ellis claimed that he had been practicing seducing female strangers since he overcame his fear of approaching them through in vivo desensitization in the Bronx Botanical Garden in the 1930s. And in the 70s and 80s, there were a lot of independent authors and teachers with no real organized community. Mm-hmm. So they had workshops. In the 80s, there were workshops that were promoted that promoted a collection of neurolinguistic programming techniques called speed seduction.
Okay.
And this was Ross Jeffries who originated a lot of this stuff with his students. Mm-hmm. And he published a short book of his techniques called How to Get the Woman You Desire into Bed. So now it's not just about picking up a woman. Now it's about getting a woman into bed, like how to get a woman to fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
Other exponents established themselves in roughly kind of the same area, but lacked contact with each other. So there were these all of these disparate men throughout the country who were teaching all of these different techniques, but they didn't have a community, a blogosphere, a manosphere in which to kind of focus their efforts. In 94, Louis DePayne, then a student of Jeffrey's, founded the news group alt.seduction.fast. So before there was 4chan, before there was the internet, we had these like news groups that you could get to, and it was all text-based. There was no graphics. It was it was a sad day in the early web and whatever. Anyway, so it marked the birth of kind of an online community. And this spawned a network of other internet discussion forums, email lists, blogs, and sites where seduction techniques could be exchanged until we've got what we have today. And that's all part of the Manosphere.
Mm-hmm.
The community was brought into the mainstream with the 99 film Magnolia, in mm-hmm. which Tom Cruise portrays a charismatic, embittered, and emotionally troubled pickup guru
yeah.
who was loosely based on Ross Jeffries.
Mm-hmm.
In 2005, journalist Neil Strauss wrote The Game, Penetrating the Secret Society of Pickup Artists, an expose of the seduction community. It got on the New York bestseller list and made... known pickup and seduction techniques made known these techniques to a wider audience.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there was a television show called The Pickup Artist that was like on VH1.
Mm-hmm.
Within the community, seduction lairs are underground meeting groups for men devoted to the study of seduction as it is taught in the seduction community. The lairs first began as study groups soon after Jeffries released his first products and began teaching sometime in the early 90s. So imagine, like, I like to imagine, like, a hotel seminar room.
Yeah.
Because mostly I've seen that in,
in
TV shows and stuff. There's an episode of Psych that deals with this.
So my question also is, how do they practice seduction? Do they practice it on each other?
No, what they usually do is they learn the techniques, and then I think they actually end up going out into a bar and mm-hmm. then trying it in the hotel bar.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
But anyway, so there are hundreds of lairs that exist in the world today. A lair typically involves two elements, an online forum and group meetings. And these elements, mm-hmm. it's like Weight Watchers, but mm-hmm. for picking up women. Anyway, the elements are used as resources for men who want to learn to become well-versed and how to successfully attract women.
Mm-hmm.
So the Mother Jones article defines pickup artists as self-proclaimed or aspiring alpha males who attempt to seduce women through a system of psychological gambits called the game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Notable pickup artist figures include Roosh V, who is Dariush Villa. Hold on.
Yeah.
Ilya Zadel of the Return of Kings website. So there's also a website for these fucks called Return of Kings.
Return of Kings.
Mm. Yeah. Who has cool. published a collection of sex travel guides such as Bang Brazil, in which he writes, and this is just disgusting, poor favela chicks are very easy, but quality is a serious problem. So feel free to go screw the woman in the, like, poorer areas of Brazil, but the quality of your lay is not going to be great.
Yeah. I mean, it's a problem.
Oh, yeah. There is the anti-slut defense, ASD. These are tactics that pickup artists believe that women use to dodge responsibility for sex, such as offering, quote, token resistance, or claiming afterwards that they were too drunk to say no.
Fuck. So, what is token resistance?
Screw consent, people. Screw
consent. Yeah, but what did they mean by token resistance?
Oh, like pushing them back and saying, like, oh, no, I'm not really interested. Or
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the no, again, is just a please, please seduce me.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Please pursue me further. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So then there was the PUA hate, which is a hashtag now, but it was a site for those who felt disillusioned mm-hmm. by the pickup artist movement.
Yeah.
There was Roger, blamed women for his sexual frustration, was a frequenter. Roosh V concluded about him, until you give men like Roger a way to have sex, either by encouraging them to learn game, seek out a Thai wife, or engage in legalized prostitution, it's inevitable for another massacre to occur.
So his solution is, the thing is, his solution is women have to be available in some way or the other. And if they're not, that's the problem. The problem is not with the guy who does the massacre. The problem is that women are not available to him.
Yeah,
and so they should be made available.
Exactly. So this was Elliot Rodger. And so Roosh was basically saying, like, Elliot Rodger's, like, the whole reason that he did this is because, mm-hmm. like, there's no legalized prostitution. He couldn't find a Thai wife. And,
fuck,
like,
this is so... I mean, there's so much wrong with it.
It's ridiculous. It's disgusting. Yeah. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
Anyway, the PUA movement has been described as sexist, misogynist, and pseudoscience and subterfuge, if you can believe that. A Vice article from 2007 argues that there are far fewer pickup artists today than there were earlier in the 2000s and 2010s. Yep. But author Sarah Ratchford states, while it seems weaker now, it's still strong behind the scenes. According to Jeff McDonald, a psychology professor at the University of Toronto, whose work focuses on the establishment of sexual connection and relationships, pickup artistry is alive. Quote, sometimes it seems like things go away, but they've just become mainstream to the point that you don't even notice they're there. I've seen much of it in the news about, I haven't seen much in the news about salt recently either, but I think people are still eating it.
Yeah. So, yeah. Which is very pressing.
So there are pickup artist boot camps, and there are clearly online communities that are proof that they haven't gone anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
These boot camps charge anywhere from $500 to $5,000.
That's impressive.
Yeah. But people are aware of what's going on. And in 2016, two pickup artists and their student were convicted of rape in San Diego, California.
Yeah.
Alex Smith and Jonas Dick were instructors in the community of pickup artists, men who obsessively practice and study the methods of meeting and sleeping with as many women as possible. Some men in their community say picking up is actually about self-actualization and finding meaning in their lives.
Obviously. But can we just take a second to appreciate the fact that his name is Jonas Dick?
Absolutely.
I just wanted to say the name again because it's very fitting.
Jonas Dick.
Jonas Dick.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But according to San Diego's district attorney, Alex Smith and Jonas Dick, both 27 years old, are predators, and their pursuit of their quote unquote art has led to the rape of multiple women. The men, along with their student, a 28-year-old Jason Berlin, were charged in 2015 with the rape of a San Diego woman. Jonas and Jason pleaded guilty to the charges. Alex has maintained his innocence, claiming, wait for it, contrary to Jason and Jonas's sworn pleas, the events of the night were consensual.
Of course. Of course.
The investigation uncovered another victim of Jonas Dick, a 16-year-old girl, for whose rape Jonas also pleaded guilty. And there's a suggestion that there are many more victims.
Yeah.
Jonas Dick, received 8 years in state prison for the two rapes.
Yeah.
His student, Jason Berlin, faces a maximum of 8-year sentence, and both will spend a lifetime on the sex offender registry.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. So,
that guy Rouge V, I remember that a few years ago he came to Vienna to do a seminar with pickup artists in Vienna, and somehow feminists got heard of this, and there was like this huge protest against him.
Ooh.
And one of the things that I saw back then, people then started posting videos by him and stuff like that. And there's this one video of him where he, because he also, as you said, does these seduction around the world, also videos where he kind of explains the racial and cultural differences in women. And how
he's just helping with intercultural communication.
Absolutely. And one of the things he does is, I think it's in Thailand, or I'm not sure, or China. It's an Asian country. I remember that it was an Asian country, and where he just walks around the street and then pushes women's heads towards his crotch.
What?
So he, yeah. And
like random women on the street?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he's like, yeah, well, by the nature, they let you do that. Like, you know, like, I have to find that video and send it to you if it's still available on YouTube. But he does that. Yeah, he goes like through the street and he's like, yeah, those Asian women, they are they're so subservient, and they let you do that, and they're even happy about it because, I don't know. So,
no,
yeah.
You're a colonialist asshole. Stop. And, stop being an asshole.
And you are a sexual perpetrator.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And you're a predator. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
so that's the thing.
A predator and a perpetrator. Yeah.
So that's the thing, that, as you said, that kind of violence is not, doesn't really understand. The perpetrators of this kind of violence don't understand or don't want to understand that what they do is actually violence. And they're also not talked about as violent perpetrators, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is
yeah, because as a professor in University of Toronto said, like, this has become so ingrained yeah. within society, yeah. this idea of, you know, I read a meme the other day that there was this, it was, you know, somebody posted something on Twitter or whatever, yeah. A little boy, like, had asked a girl out, and she said no, and he came home and talked to his mom about it or somebody, and she said, well, you know what you do now, and he said, I don't know, like, keep asking her out, and she said, no, you stop. She has already told you she's not interested. Yeah. Stop asking her out. And he was yeah. like, oh, nobody's ever told me that before. Yeah. Like, oh, well.
Because
maybe we need to.
Maybe we should stop treating women like children and finally.
Or sexual objects.
Yeah. Both of those things. Yeah. But also children in the sense of they don't understand and know what they want. If they say no, yeah. then it probably it just means no is the most likely yes. thing. You know,
absolutely,
yeah,
yeah, but no, I mean, we have become so used to this kind of pickup artist, men trying to hit on women and keep continuing to hit on them even after they have said mm-hmm. that they're not interested, and that's just become such a huge part of society that we don't even see it as violence anymore,
yeah, yeah. And I feel like every time we talk about, you know, even when we talked about the friend zone, now we talk about incels and pickup artists, which is kind of an extension of the same thing, I feel like, or a darker version of the same mm-hmm. thing. I always feel like there's so much, like, entangled in it. We could talk about this for hours and hours, about, like, every aspect of it, because it's such a complex mesh of just all kinds of misogynistic and racist and homophobic bullshit.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I totally agree. We just have to keep pointing it out and saying, yeah. like, this is a form of violence against mm-hmm. women.
And also, you know, one thing that I also came across in the last few days was people saying that we shouldn't call incels terrorism because that kind of gives them more power than they deserve. You, as in, they're just like little assholes and shouldn't be even talked about. But I feel it's very legitimate. I think it's important to point out you know, what it can lead to hold ideologies like that and to, yeah.
I totally agree, because by not calling it terrorism, we're basically saying women don't matter.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That's what I was thinking.
I mean, it's a terrorist if it's against white Christians, yeah. but if it's against women, it somehow doesn't matter. Yeah. And, you know, I think that that's bullshit.
Yeah.
I'm tired of having to prove my worth as a woman mm-hmm. Because I'm a human being, just like every other human yeah. being on this planet.
Yeah.
And if someone is doing something because they hate me as a human being, mm-hmm. and everybody who has, you know, who is like that is like yeah. me, or you know, even if it's not like female bodied women generally, like, I do not care. Like, yeah. if you are committing violence because of a hatred toward women, then you're a terrorist.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think, you know, there's power in calling things by the right name.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. So that's what we've got today, folks.
If you made it to the end of this episode, I'm proud. Because it's really pressing.
Yeah, agreed.
It's a hard one. It's one of our heavier ones. Yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely.
So, yeah, if you feel like you're entitled to sex, then call a therapist. If you feel like you need to hate on a group of people just because they don't want to have sex with you, maybe also call your therapist and get therapy instead. Instead of talking yourself into hating yourself and the world even more than you already do, maybe just get an actual support group or get actual therapy, reach out to people, and you know what? Stay nasty.
Stay nasty.
Bye.
Bye.